Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President of Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of The Brew. I'm your host, Rocco DeSangro, and joining me on this special episode, it is our graphic designer, Sarah Hill, and our videographer, Emma Senecasalaya. Guys, like, this is something that is very important to just talk about and have this conversation, especially with June being Pride Month, but beyond that as well. And here's some of the things we're going to talk about on this episode. It's why we're talking about this first and foremost, and we're going to educate people out there, the general audience, about why we're doing this, what we can do for our clients from a pride standpoint, how being queer influences art and career choices, and then the progress pride flag and its history. We're going to talk about all of that and more on this episode. Emma, Sarah, let's jump into it. Why are we talking about this here today?
Pride is so important. I think it gets more important every year, and we are very privileged to work at a company that allows us to celebrate pride, not only allows us to, but also embraces it, makes it a celebration. But because that's what pride is, it is a celebration of diversity and a reminder of the ongoing fight for equality.
It's really important to talk about, and I think Pride is such a good opportunity to educate people who don't know about it, because it's such a fun month filled with love and like accepting. So bringing that into the workplace is really fun, because you get to educate people. You know, we have to make Pride content for our clients, so it's like within the company, why not also embrace that and talk about it?
Yeah, Pride is, it's meant to be a source of strength and empowerment for the queer community, and also it's an acknowledgement of the impact that queer people have had on culture and just as a whole in our history. Queer people have been through a lot, and there's been a lot of progress, but you know, it doesn't stop. So definitely proud, of course, to be here talking about it. The reason that Emma and I are here is because we are members of the queer community, and we have our very kind straight ally Rocco hosting us and helping us, helping guide us. But I'll take this opportunity to say that I'm Sarah, the graphic designer. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a cisgender woman. I identify as pansexual, which means I have the potential for emotional, romantic, or sexual attraction to people of any gender, though not necessarily at the same time, in the same way, or the same degree. It's kind of a slightly more broken down version of bisexual. But yeah, it just feels a little bit more accurate to me. Something very helpful, a pop culture reference to help people understand what it means. If you watched the wonderful show Schitt's Creek, Dan Levy, his character, David Rose, is pansexual, and the way that he describes it is he loves all kinds of wine, as if, like, you know, men are red wine, women are white wine, and there's all kinds of mixes and different kinds in between. It means that I like the wine and not the label. Thank you, Schitt's Creek, because that makes it so easy.
It's a great description of it, though.
It is, honestly, like, yeah. Comparing it to wine, I feel like it's something everyone can get
behind.
It
also really helps because I love wine. And I love to talk about all the different kinds of wine.
Well, that's another podcast idea.
Different podcast.
Okay, so hi, I'm Emma. My pronouns are they, them. I identify as bisexual and non-binary, so I'm pretty sure a lot of people are pretty familiar with the concept of bisexuality, but I like everyone. Being non-binary, at least to me, it kind of means something different for everyone who identifies that way. Everyone, even cis people, experience gender in their own way. But for me, I just like have never really felt like one or the other. I'm just like me. I've never seen like the lens of gender atop of my personality, or like when people have talked about like, I feel like a woman, which I know people do. I like just, man, it doesn't.
I feel like a woman.
I love that song, but I never got it.
Sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Stuck in my head all day now.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry to cut you off, Emma. I had the vocal stim.
But like, yeah, no, I just, for me, I've never really felt that experience. I just feel like me and not like one or the other. And that's why we're talking about this today.
So what does it mean to be able to be open about your sexuality in a workplace like Maroon, and that level of comfortability that comes with it? Because the people that we work with, I'm sure that you both have seen how accepting they are. And I feel like here here we welcome everyone in with open arms. Like, it's just like how Maroon operates, and it's a family environment. Like, we care about each other, we love each other, and that's just how John and Carolyn and Jen and Matt and like Amanda and our leadership team has just kind of taught us to be. So
yeah, I think the ethos of Maroon PR has always completely aligned with, you know, the values of pride. And it's not just our gender, sexuality, just all of the above, I guess, everything. We're a very inclusive environment here. So it really only makes sense that we celebrate pride along with acknowledging Juneteenth, which is this month. And I think it's just very built into the ethos of the company.
So from a client's perspective, Sarah and Emma, what can we do for our clients from a pride standpoint? And what have you seen over the course of time that you've been working here, like what we've been able to do and how you've kind of been able to bring the pride to work and to what our clients are doing? What's kind of some of the biggest examples that you've seen over the years and like what's really worked and what's been fun to do?
Just in general, we have a few clients that we will create pride content for. As a graphic designer, I usually am making just pride animations or pride graphics. We've yet to do any pride videography related work yet, but it's more of an acknowledgement from a client that pride is relevant to, which is most often our nonprofit clients falling into our Maroon Cares umbrella. And in this instance, I'm going to cite Healthcare Access Maryland is a client that we've posted for pride for a couple of years, and Maryland Food Bank. And that is because their base of their audience and the people they interact with in the community, it's relevant. A lot of them are queer people. It's wonderful that they take that time to acknowledge it. And the tone and the voice that we convey that through them is different for every client. Like for Healthcare Access Maryland, they're in the community providing education, healthcare resources like that all across Maryland and a little bit beyond as well. We're so proud of their work. Love to work with them. And for them this year, I created an animation that showcased a lot of the different pride flags and different gender and sexual identities. And so that's a bit more relevant to their content because of them being healthcare. They understand all the other niches of and parts of the pride community. So that was relevant. But for Maryland Food Bank, I created an animation that spelled out pride, each letter with different fruits and vegetables into a rainbow. And it was so cute. And of course, Maryland Food Bank, food distribution, helping with the hunger crisis in Maryland and beyond, but especially Maryland. The Maryland Food Bank post was a little bit more generic to encompass the broader community, while the Healthcare Access Maryland or HCAM graphic was a little bit more niche because that's more relevant to their community. So just understanding the client's voice and approaching pride in an appropriate way that makes sense for them and represents them in a good light. And as a queer person, being able to create pride content is so, so cool. And it makes me happy. It makes it feel a little bit more authentic. Not that anybody knows when they see the content that, oh yeah, a gay person made this, but I know. And that makes me very happy because that's just the work that I love.
While we're on that topic, first of all, did you create the Maroon logo that's up on our?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We rainbow
have
as well.
We have the
it's really cool.
The progress, the most recent progress pride flag is in our profile picture on Instagram and other social media sites, just to recognize through the month that we're acknowledging pride. And we always do a pride post for our social media. And we also will contribute to an organization that helps the queer community every year. Last year, we donated to the Trevor Project. This year, we're contributing to Trans Lifeline. And that information is up on our social media and will be on our website for more info there. But that's another reason that I'm just so proud to celebrate pride as an employee of Maroon PR.
It's awesome to hear. How does being queer influence art, career choices, kind of everything along those lines? And Sarah, you just kind of touched on it, like being able to design these really cool things for clients we have when it comes to pride, when it comes to the progress pride flag. But beyond that as well, like what do you think influencing the art side and the career choices, like where does it kind of stem from and how have you seen it evolve over time?
For me, I feel like I majored in film at college for context.
Ooh,
and yes, go Towson. Love it. And I'm sure a lot of people who have also done arts majors, there's a lot of gay people in the arts. And I think I was influenced to choose film as my major and then my career path thereafter, because it's such a great medium to portray the world that you are kind of living in your head. And I think that's for anyone, obviously not just queer people, but especially when you are part of, honestly, any marginalized community, the way you're experiencing the world can feel very different from the way your peers are. So to be able to express that in such an all-encompassing way, for me, especially with film, it's visuals, it's how people are even interacting with each other. It's what people are wearing. It's such a all-encompassing thing. That's why I chose it. And then in just being interested in film with in general, like, there is the concept of camp, which I think we're going to talk about later, but that also got me into film and like has really affected the way I see things artistically, and definitely kind of bleeds into the way I, you know, make videos, even for work, even if it's like really small things, or just sort of the way you artistically see the world. That path has really influenced me. So, and I mean, seeing the way other people like within the community express themselves, I think can also help you in your creativity too.
Like, absolutely. Just,
there's so, people have come from such diverse backgrounds within the LGBTQ plus community. So like just being able to see that makes your world so wide and gives you so much more inspiration to choose from as compared to if you're not aware of that previously.
That's true.
So,
I think understanding my identity as a queer person has absolutely heightened my creative capacity and having a broader understanding of the world that you're in and being exposed to so much more art. Like Emma mentioned, a lot of queer people are also very creative. I think there's something super powerful about communicating your identity and your life experience through art, because it's a way that you can have other people that you would never have encountered in your day-to-day life empathize with you and maybe see something in something you created and relate to that. And then that creates a connection between you or helps create more empathy among people who aren't queer and make us a bit more approachable, because there's definitely, I've seen people are nervous to ask questions for fear of asking the wrong thing or accidentally appearing ignorant when really they're just curious and want to know more. So I think sharing art and creating those safe spaces, it just creates more opportunity for connection and growing relationships, which again also is very relevant to what we do at Maroon PR, drive growth through relationships.
And I mean, we always say here that we're storytellers, and telling a story is the best way to get someone to understand your cause. And
completely,
whether that be about being gay or for literally any of our clients that we do work for, like for the food bank or literally anyone, being able to portray a story and not just kind of throw words at people is the best way you can actually get empathy and get people to understand.
Oh, that's awesome. It was very, very well said. And that's fantastic to hear. Before we wrap up, it's such a big talking point. And one of the last things we want to talk about though is Progress Pride flag and its history, because it does have such a long history. Sarah, you got the guide right here. Please help people out there that maybe aren't educated when it comes to the Progress Pride flag and the progression, I'm going to say, of the Progress Pride flag and the Pride flag in general. Like, how has it changed over the years? Like, what has been some of the biggest changes? And like, if you could help educate people on what that looks like now and,
And it's very important to know too, for like people who are going to be using the Pride flag for Pride content, to like have an understanding of it as well.
Exactly. I mean, you don't want to,
instead of just use it and be unaware.
Yeah, it's definitely better to understand. It's cool to understand where it came from, because the history is very interesting, and the Pride flag in general has gone through a lot of different evolutions over the years. So I'm going to kind of quickly sum it up, because it does have a very rich history, and that is so relevant to graphic design. As a designer and somebody who is very passionate about color, the Pride flag as the rainbow symbol and the colors changing, it's all very symbolic and has deep meaning. So the original Pride flag was designed by a graphic artist who was named Gilbert Baker. He passed away just a few years ago, but he created it in 1978. He was commissioned by American politician and activist Harvey Milk. He was the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in California as a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. So he knew Baker, and he asked him to design a symbol of gay pride. And that original Pride flag, every color has an individual meaning, which I will read off just real quick. It's about 9 different colors is how it started. Hot pink represents sex. Red symbolizes life.
orange is for healing, yellow is sunlight, green stands for nature, turquoise symbolizes magic and art, indigo represents serenity, and violet symbolizes the spirit of LGBTQ plus people. And what happened after that flag was created in 1978 is tragic but significant. The politician who commissioned the original Pride flag art, Harvey Milk, along with George Moscone, who was the 37th mayor of San Francisco, they were assassinated on November 27th, 1978, inside the San Francisco City Hall by former supervisor Dan White. And while that was very tragic, it did increase awareness. It was, you know, a very public assassination. The world was paying attention. And then from that, Gilbert Baker designed what we know as the traditional Pride flag, which is those six colors, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. And that flag was in very high demand following that significant assassination of Harvey Milk and George Moscone. I just want to note real quick, one of the reasons why a couple of the colors were omitted from that original Pride flag with the nine colors, it's down to six colors because of manufacturing issues with some of the specific shades of pink and turquoise, which is just, as a designer, something I empathize with because print colors don't come across the same when they get printed out. And it's just an important, very boring, honestly, to other people except me, thing that I have to keep in mind when I'm designing a lot. So it's just funny to hear that this famous flag had to be edited just because of some like manufacturing issues for the colors, but it turned into this beautiful symbol and it was the main Pride flag for over 40 years. And then recently in 2017, it started in Philly. The Pride flag was updated to incorporate queer communities of color who have often been overlooked in the mainstream LGBTQ plus movement. So that is the addition of brown and black stripes to that rainbow flag with the six colors. And then just a year later, we got the Progress Pride flag, the first iteration of that in 2018. It was designed by a queer artist named Daniel Quasar, and that is the version that I think a lot of people are familiar with now. It is the addition of a white, pink, and light blue stripes, and that represents the trans community. And while the black and brown stripes still represent communities of color, the black stripe is also a nod to the thousands of individuals that our community lost during the HIV/AIDS crisis in the 80s and 90s. So that symbol is so very powerful. And then a couple of years later, and this is the main iteration that I think everybody should be using in their Pride content, that is the Intersex Inclusive Progress Pride flag. So that adds the intersex community to the design. It was created by Valentino Vicetti of the Intersex Equality Rights, and that is a UK designer. So that is that extra, it's the yellow triangle with the purple circle in the center. And it's just, it's gorgeous. Such a rich, rich history. That's my history lesson. Off my history soapbox. My dad was a US history teacher as well. So,
No, you did a fantastic job there. Like, it was like,
this is my comfy place.
Yeah. Breaking it down, like, I learned a lot on this episode and just in the last like 5 minutes with you talking about it. So it's fantastic to see. As far as for non-members of the LGBTQ plus community, like how would you like to see them just be allies, be supportive? Like what is like the biggest thing they can do going forward? Not just in June, not just 1 month, but 12 months out of the year. Like what would you like to see happen? And like, what would that kind of call to action be?
Yeah. So I think there's many ways to answer this on a personal level. And I have a feeling a lot of other queer people would agree, is like, just be accepting and don't make a big deal out of someone's identity. I think normalizing it is, at least to me, the most important thing. Treating the person like the way you did before, it doesn't really change that much about them, except maybe they might start wearing weirder clothes, which I know I have.
That's okay, yeah. Too.
Then on a bigger level, especially like, you know, where this is a corporate setting and a more corporate level, if Pride is something and like the community is something you really care about, then yeah, consider donating to places like Trans Lifeline or Trevor Project or other maybe more local charities or nonprofits. Showing support with more than, even though both of our jobs are very visual, more than just visuals, like backing up your visuals with, or it could even be like volunteering or something. So I think that's the best way to be an ally.
Yeah. Also, something as simple as just respecting and using the correct pronouns for another person. As a straight person, there's a lot of different places on social media profiles for you to add your pronouns. We've all got pronouns. It's just part of grammar. So it's very easy to update your pronouns on social media. And it's sort of a signal to queer people that you are a safe person. And
also, when it comes to using the proper pronouns for somebody, it's definitely a learning process when you're getting used to using like they, them pronouns for someone. I have a lot of people in my life who use they, them pronouns, and a lot of people in my family particularly who have a very difficult time incorporating that into their vocabulary. And it's something that takes time, and there's no need to be worried or embarrassed if you get it wrong. Just be aware and just correct yourself real quick. It doesn't need to be a big deal.
Yeah, like you don't need to be paranoid about it. As long as you're like trying. Exactly. And the biggest thing is like as long as you're trying to understand the person too, and not just constantly worried about just pronouns, because it is more than that. That's what really matters. I mean, pronouns obviously also do matter, but like it's the effort being made and you like being accepting of the person that really matters. So if you make a mistake,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Just real quick be like, oh, sorry, they. Move exactly. along.
Yes.
Because also making it a spectacle is going to make everybody uncomfortable, especially the person that you're talking about. So yeah, just be a human, you know, just care.
That's
yeah,
fantastic advice on both sides, and I really enjoyed this episode. I really appreciate you both, just, you know, including me, letting me host and taking the time to educate me and talk with me more just about this, because I learned a lot. I really did. And especially like just seeing you, how detailed it is, how in depth you guys, like this, it's fantastic. So
thank
I'm trying
so
to
much,
learn
Rocco.
Day in and day out, and just like
you're doing
get better
great.
With what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
So
Rocco, no. you nailed it as well. You've been a great
that.
Host.
Thank you. This was a fantastic episode of The Brew. If you're interested in learning more about Maroon PR, go check out maroonpr.com. Check us out on our social media platforms, X, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Maroon PR on everything. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. Maroon PR for everything. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening and checking us out. For my two great co-hosts, we got Sarah Hill and Emma Senecastellaia. I'm Rocco DeSangro. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great rest of your day.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.